What's up, everyone, and welcome to the Northview Church Podcast. We're so glad that you're taking time to listen to today's message. Northview is a place for you to grow closer to others and to grow closer to God. We would love to meet you in person and have you visit us at any one of our campuses. You can find a campus near you or get more information about Northview by visiting us online at northviewchurch.us. Now, let's join our senior pastor, Steve Poe, for this week's message.
So how many of you have ever detasseled corn? Let me see your hands. Yeah, I've shared this story before, but it fits with this message, so I'm gonna share it again. When I was in the seventh grade, some farmers came to our school and offered us a four-week summer job at detasseling corn. I went home, I wanted to do this. I went home and asked my dad if he would let me detassel corn. And he said, under one condition. I said, what's that? And he said, if you start, you have to finish. And I'm like, well, yeah, of course I'll finish. And he goes, no, I want to hear you say it. If you start it, you're going to finish it. I'm like, all right, yeah, I'll finish it. So he let me do it. So summer came, and it was the first day, and we all met there. There were four busloads filled with boys that were all going out to detassel corn. And so we drove about 40 minutes from the city to a farm, not knowing that we were headed for the job of hell. So we get there and we get off the bus and they show us what our job is. They said, these corn stalks are gonna reach up and there's a tassel on the top. You just pull the tassel out and throw it on the ground. It's not rocket science, you guys can do this. So we began the day. It was hot. I don't mean Indiana hot, I mean Missouri hot. It was over 100 degrees that day. It was humid out. And so we head down these rows of corn that went for three counties. And we never thought they would end. And of course, the plants are sticking to you. And they had what the farmers told us were, they called them stink bugs. And they certainly lived up to their name. And so after week one, they had now gone from four buses to we were down to two buses. After week one, I thought this is a perfect excuse, and so I asked my dad if I could quit with the others, and he's like, no, you made an agreement, you're gonna finish it. Nobody ever really told us what happened to the boys on those other two buses. Some believe they died in the field, I don't know. But I remember it was raining one day, and we just thought, oh my gosh, and so we're hooting and hollering, and we're running back to the bus, we're thinking they're gonna let us sit on the bus and have a break. We get back to the bus with these farmers who are handing out trash bags, and they're like, poke a hole for your head, two for your arms, and get back out there. And so the final week, we were down to one bus, and there was only 15 boys left on the bus. The good thing is that they gave us a bonus for sticking it through, sticking it out. I did learn a valuable lesson, as my dad hoped that I would, of how important it is to finish what you start and to give it your very best. You see, guys, I believe that too many Christians today are satisfied with doing the bare minimum, just what it takes to get by. But what they don't realize is there are blessings that they're gonna miss out on by doing things halfway. As we've seen in the series, Elisha never did anything halfway, did he? He gave it his all. He wanted everything that God had for him. He didn't want a thimble full of God's Spirit. He wanted a double portion of God's Spirit. When he prayed and asked God, he asked God to bless him. He asked God to give him everything he had. He asked God to give me a double portion of that which you gave the prophet Elijah. Now, for those of you that are our guests today, this is our final message in a series that we've called Ridiculous Faith. It's on the life of Elisha. It's amazing to me, guys, how many have never heard some of these incredible stories of Elisha. Seriously, I said it to you last week, but they're some of my favorite stories in the Old Testament. We've only looked at four of the stories on this man's life, but there's a whole lot more we could have easily done an eight-week series. And I would encourage you that when you get home or sometime soon to go to 2 Kings and read about this guy's life, the rest of the stories. If you remember, God had promised to raise up a prophet one day that would have a double anointing and complete twice as many miracles as the prophet Elijah. If you were here in week one, we saw Elijah. Now, again, for those of you that are guests, Elijah was a prophet that came first and it's followed by another prophet, Elisha. And so in week one, we see the prophet Elijah come on the scene. Elisha is still, he's a farmer. He's a pretty well-off farmer. He's got 24 oxen, which means he had some wealth. And he's out in the field and he's tending his flock. And all of a sudden, the prophet Elijah comes on the scene and he takes off his cloak and he throws it around the shoulders of Elisha, which was very symbolic. It was as if to say, that which covered me, that mantle, that anointing, is now going to cover you. It's now going to be your mantle. It's now going to be your anointing. And so we saw Elijah then willing to walk away from everything to pursue this calling, to pursue this challenge in his life. In other words, if you were here, you'll remember that we said that he takes his 24 oxen and he butchers them and feeds the poor, and then he takes his farm equipment and he burns it, he destroys it. Why? Because he wanted to send a clear message to all of his friends and to all of his family that there was no coming back from this, that he was all out to serve God, that there was no back door, there was no escape route, that he was all in serving God to pursue this for the remainder of his life. Elisha was bold enough, as I just mentioned, to ask for a double portion of this miracle-working power. A lot of us, as we've talked about, we'll say, well, God, if you could just give me a little bit of your spirit, if you could just bless me with just a bit of your spirit, but that wasn't the heart of Elisha. Elisha said, I want everything that you have for me, God. Not only do I want everything that you gave the prophet Elijah, but I want a double portion, God. I want you to use me in ways that I never dreamed that you would. Now, if you look in the Old Testament, you'll see that between Elijah and Elisha, they performed 42 miracles. Elijah performed 14, and you'll see that Elisha performed 28, which is twice as many as Elijah had performed, which is exactly what he prayed. We also said that Elisha was a foreshadowing of the greatest of all prophets to come, or the greatest of all prophets who would be Jesus. Today, I want us to see the kind of heart it takes to receive God's best. Now, guys, hopefully, if you're a Christian, if you're a believer here, if you're a follower of Christ, you want God's best in your life. It's hard for me to wrap my brain around the idea that there might be some of you that are believers or Christians and you're not interested in all that God has for you. That's hard for me to understand or imagine. And so I would imagine the majority of you that are believers want God's best in your life, not just a portion. You want all that he has for you. But guys, do you understand that will never happen if you're half-hearted about your walk with him? That will never happen if you just give him a part of your life, if you're a part-time Christian, if you just want to do enough to get by. Guys, it's not going to happen if you're just giving God your leftovers. Let's look at our story, if we could, today. Again, it takes place in 2 Kings. It says, when Elisha was in his last illness, and so he's weeks away from death. This is the final days of his life. When Elisha was in his last illness, King Jehoash of Israel visited him and wept over him. King Jehoash was not a good guy. He wasn't a strong follower of God. Well, let's follow along. So King Jehoash of Israel visited him and wept over him. My father, I see the chariots and charioteers of Israel, he cried. Elisha told him, get a bow and some arrows. And the king did as he was told. Elisha told him, put your hand on the bow, and Elisha laid his own hands on the king's hands. Then he commanded, open that eastern window, and he opened it. Then he said, shoot. So he shot an arrow. Elisha proclaimed, this is the Lord's arrow, an arrow of victory over Aram, for you will completely conquer the Arameans at Apec. Then he said, now pick up the other arrows and strike them against the ground. So the king picked them up and struck the ground three times. But the man of God was angry with him. You should have struck the ground five or six times, he exclaimed. Then you would have beaten Aram until it was entirely destroyed. Now you will be victorious only three times. Now, I've shared a little bit of this story in another message I did. I talked a little bit about this, but I wanted to give you the full scope of this story today as we're looking at his life. We come to the end of Elisha's life. Jehoash is king over Israel, and they're at war with Judah. The advantage of King Jehoash, the advantage that he has, is that the prophet Elijah is for Israel. But Elisha is now ill. As I said, he's in his last weeks of his life. So King Jehoash goes down to Elisha and he wept over him. We say, but why did he weep over him? I can tell you it's not because he's worried about Elisha's health. He really didn't care about Elisha. He wasn't a strong man of God. He was more concerned with not having Elisha's protection. But then Elisha, he gives the king some very strange instructions. He tells him, go get a bow and some arrows. Shoot an arrow out the east window. And that's exactly what he does. And Elisha gives the king a very positive prophecy. He says, this is the Lord's arrow, an arrow of victory over Aram. He said, listen, God has a plan for you, king. You will completely conquer the Arameans at Aphek. And now all you have to do is pick up the rest of the arrows and strike them against the ground. So he picks up the arrows and he strikes the ground with them three times. But Elisha immediately becomes angry at the king and says, you should have struck the ground five or six times. And you look at that, you read that story and you think, why is Elisha so upset? I'll tell you, I believe the reason he was so upset is because of the king's lack of engagement, because of the king's lack of commitment. He did what he was told to do, but his heart wasn't in it. Listen, guys, someone bold in their faith, I believe anyway, someone bold in their faith would have said, Elisha, how many times do you want me to strike the ground? I'm ready to give my all. I'm ready to do whatever it is. I'm ready to do whatever it is that you want me to do. You see, guys, remember, just to, as a reminder, I've told you this before, but in the New Testament, in today, we all have the privilege of the Holy Spirit residing within us, and so we get to hear directly from the Holy Spirit. He speaks into our life. But in the Old Testament, that was not the case. The only way you heard from God was through prophets, priests, and kings. And so I tell you that because what is happening right here is Elisha is a prophet, and so he's speaking to the king. He is the voice of the Lord to the king. So in other words, the message that he is giving the king is a message from God. And yet the king is half-hearted about it. And I believe that somebody that's bold in their faith, somebody that's in love with God, and God tells them to do something, they're gonna say, what is it you want me to do, God? How many times do you want me to do it? I'm gonna give you my all. I'm gonna give you my best. I remember when I was a kid in school, and my dad would say, if the teacher tells you to jump, you ask him how high. What was he trying to say? He was trying to say that that teacher is an authority over you, so whatever the teacher tells you to do, you give him your all. You do your very best. Well, I'm just saying, guys, I think that's exactly what needs to be happening in our relationship with God. If God is telling us to do something, if God is speaking to us, we need to say how high. We need to say, God, whatever it is that you want me to do, I want to be faithful to you. I want to go beyond what it is, Lord, that you're asking me to do. I love this next passage in 2 Chronicles. It says, the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. The eyes of the Lord search the entire earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Is your heart fully committed to the Lord? You know, when you invited him into your life, you said, I surrender all. Did you mean it? Is that exactly what you meant? Then you can know that he wants to strengthen those. He wants to give you the strength that you need to carry out the things that he wants you to do. Now, we can also assume the king flippantly or half-heartedly hit the ground with these arrows. Friends, I don't know why the king was so indifferent. I don't know if it was laziness or apathy, indifference. I don't know if he felt foolish hitting those arrows in the ground. We don't know why. But I do know that his lack of follow-through was demonstrating his lack of faith. And guys, that's what I want you to understand. The king wasn't taking God seriously. When the king responded half-heartedly, when the king responded with just kind of tapping the ground with his arrows, he wasn't taking the word of God to him seriously. He didn't fail, he quit. He gave a half-hearted effort in doing what the prophet Elijah asked him to do, and the victory was lost. And that's why Elijah is so angry with him. That's why Elijah is so frustrated with him. He only did enough to get by. He didn't give his best, he wasn't all in. Guys, we have to be careful that we're not guilty of doing the same thing. Because when, again, God takes a vow very seriously, and when you invited Christ into your life, you said, I surrender all. I don't know about you guys, but I don't want to be known by my lack of faith. I don't want to stop short of my best effort. I want to take my relationship with God seriously. I want to give God my very best as your pastor. I want to give God my very best in my marriage. I want to give God my very best when it comes to my kids and my grandkids. I want to give God my very best when it comes to serving the Lord. Don't you? I've got to believe that you do. I've got to believe that you want God's best in your life. The prophet Elijah is looking for more than a half-hearted effort. He wanted King Jehoash to be all in. He wanted him to have the resolve. He wanted him to have the commitment to do what he was asking him to do. Guys, I think God's looking for the same kind of resolve. I think he's looking for the same kind of steadfast determination and commitment that says, no matter what, no matter what, I'm going to give God my first and I'm going to give God my best. Listen to me, friends, we have to stop living. Listen, we have to stop living as if the purpose of life is to arrive safely at death. God placed within all of us a spirit of faith. He placed within all of us a spirit of adventure because he wants us to live life on mission. If you've been here a few months, that's what we talked about in our spiritual growth campaign. We talked about the fact that God handed to Jesus the mission, which is to seek and to save those that are lost. And then when Jesus went back to be with his Father, he hands the mission to us. And so now it is you and me. We have the responsibility, which we call the Great Commission, to go in all the world and make disciples. We now have the responsibility to reach those that are far from God. And so Christ has equipped us with gifts and talents to carry out that mission. I'm always surprised at just how small our faith is at times. Faith is a verb. Faith is action. Faith is believing. It's trusting. It's doing. Faith is hitting the ground with all the arrows that God has given us over and over and over again because we're all in. And that, my friends, is why I think we need God-sized goals. We need to pursue our God-given possessions, our God-given passions. We need to go after a dream. Listen, we need to go after a dream so big it's destined to fail unless God steps in. We need to go after a dream so big that it's destined for failure unless God intervenes. We talk about a BHAG, and that's really what a BHAG is. A BHAG is a big, hairy, audacious goal. A BHAG is a dream so big that we're going to fail unless God steps in. At Northview, we talk about our BHAG is to be 25,000 by 2025. And of course, people are always pushing back on that. I hear it all the time. People say, oh, so then you're all about numbers. Yes, yes, we are all about numbers. Because every number has a name, every name has a story, and every story matters to God. Every one of those numbers represents one of your family members. Every one of those numbers represents one of your coworkers. So yes, without apology, we're out to reach as many people for Christ as we possibly can, because that's our mandate that God has given us. That's the mission of the church. Listen to me, guys. Please hear me on this. Don't let what's wrong with you keep you from worshiping what's right with God. Don't let what's wrong in your life keep you from worshiping what's right with God. Let me just say it another way. Don't let the problems in your life keep you from worshiping what's right with God. It's like we have this internal switch in us that needs to be flipped on, a switch that turns a light on in our life, a switch that says, I'm tired of sitting on the sideline. I'm tired of being a spectator. I don't care what anyone else says. I don't care what anyone else thinks. I just want to please an audience of one by giving him my first and by giving him my best. I don't care how hard it is or how long it takes. I want to finish strong. I'm going to move past my apathy. I'm going to move past my point of fear into a life of faith. You see, guys, I think God's trying to move all of us out of our comfort zone. You know, basically, you know, a lot of times we don't like to admit it, but we live a very comfortable life in America. I mean, if you don't believe that's true, you probably haven't visited any third world countries. But we have it pretty sweet here in America. Things are pretty easy compared to the rest of the world. Things are pretty comfortable compared to the rest of the world. And I've got to believe that God is continually trying to nudge us. God is continually trying to move us just a bit to get us out of this place this comfort zone where we're apathetic or indifferent about all that God has called us to do. I think he wants us to trust him with every aspect of our life. And I understand, listen, I understand that can be painful at times, and I understand that it can be hard or difficult at times. But I think what you will find is that God's best for our life, well, it's just on the other side of our pain. Listen, I've got a whole lot of weaknesses in my life. You don't have time for me to tell you all of them. I've got a whole lot of insecurities that oftentimes work against me that I have to work on continuously. But I would tell you the one thing that I do have is I have the resolve to give God my best. And therefore, regardless of how tough things might get, I will not give up, I will not quit serving him, because in spite of all my weaknesses, in spite of all my insecurities, in spite of all the inadequacies that I have in my life, I do have a steadfast determination that says, God, I will strike my arrows against the ground until there is nothing left but a few fragments of an arrow. Listen, please, all too often we do what God has asked us to do, but we do it half-heartedly. And then we stop short. We quit before it's accomplished, and so the results are less than satisfactory. And then what do? Then we want to blame God. Then we want to point the finger at him for our partial success, when in reality, when actually, it was us that gave up too soon. For instance, maybe we invite a coworker to church, but after they say no once or after they say no twice, then we just hang our head and feel rejected and stop asking them. Or maybe we try to be generous in our giving, but then things get tight, so we stop giving. Or maybe we ask God for something in prayer, but after a few days, nothing has happened, so again, we hang our head in rejection and stop asking God. And yet, prayer in itself, listen, I could go off on this, prayer in itself is a demonstration of our faith. In other words, prayer is you passionately striking your arrows on the ground. Inviting your friends to Christmas at the movies is you passionately striking your arrows against the ground. Putting God first with your finances and giving him your best is you passionately striking your arrows against the ground. Guys, I just want you to see that God is looking for us to be all in. Again, your confession of faith was, God, forgive me of my sins. I surrender all to you. God's just looking for us to be all in. In Matthew chapter 22 is a story we've looked at many times before. But there was a young attorney who came to Jesus, and he said, out of all the commandments, a young Jewish boy had to memorize over 600 commandments. He said, out of all the commandments, which one is the greatest? Which one is the most important? And Jesus said, the greatest commandment is to love God with all of your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. In other words, what Jesus is saying is the greatest commandment is total surrender, to love God with everything in your being. And yet all too often, we're like King Jehoash, and we want to see just how little we can do for God and still get by. Just how little we can pray, how little I can give, how little I can serve, how little I can help the poor, how little I can do and still keep God happy with me. Friends, God is expecting us to follow through with resolve. God is expecting us to follow through with that same steadfast determination and commitment. Listen, the people that are making a significant difference in our world are the ones that refuse to give up. They're the ones who understand that every area of their life is a life on mission. They're the ones who are determined to fully live out the word of God. The ones who are striking their arrows against the ground with resolve and determination. I love this next passage because this is exactly what the writer of this passage is saying. He says, but my life, and Luke most likely wrote it, my life is worth nothing to me. You think, oh, that's sad. My life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus. What was the work assigned to him by the Lord Jesus? It's the same for every one of us. It's the mission of the church. We have been assigned the mission of the church to reach out to those that are far from God. So he says, my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the mission of the church assigned to me by the Lord Jesus. Which is what? Which is the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. So Luke is just saying, man, unless I'm fulfilling the mission of God, unless I'm being obedient to what God has called me to do, my life is of no value. It's not worth much. And so therefore, I want to put God first. I want to put the mission first. For instance, people that are constantly praying about everything, Well, honestly, they might just be doing too much talking and not enough doing. Sometimes we need to stop praying and start doing. And you say, well, Steve, don't you believe in prayer? You know I do. You know I do. I've talked a lot about the importance of prayer. I believe that prayer is one of the greatest privileges that God has given us, the ability to go into the presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and to share our hurts, to share our requests, our petitions. What an incredible privilege. I'm just saying that sometimes people use that as an excuse not to do what God's called them to do. We spend too much time talking and not enough time doing. There are some things we don't need to pray about. This may be an eye-opener for some of you, but there's just some things we don't need to pray about. The scripture has already made it clear, so we don't need to pray about it. Certainly, I believe in the importance of prayer, but oftentimes what I need is more courage. Oftentimes what I need is more conviction. I don't need to pray about whether I should reach out to my unchurched friends. Scripture has already made that clear. I don't need to pray about whether I should be faithful to my wife. Scripture has already made that clear. I don't need to pray about whether I should give God my first and my best, because Scripture has already made that clear, that everything I have belongs to God. I'm just a steward. I'm just a manager of His stuff. And it says in 2 Corinthians, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. There's a lot of things that you just don't need to pray about. Should I kill that guy? Don't need to pray about it. Should I steal from her? Don't need to pray about it. Should I be a Patriots fan? Don't need to pray about it. There's just some things that are obvious, right? Guys, we don't need to pray about everything. We just need to be obedient. And so to all of you, listen to me, to all of you who long for more but settle for less, and then you give up way too soon, just make a decision. Just draw a line in the sand that you are going to be obedient to God in your life. Listen, when Jesus gave us the Great Commission, when I talk about giving us the mission of the church, what was that? When Jesus gave us the Great Commission, what we call the Great Commandment, He basically was giving us a handful of arrows. And we need to strike those arrows against the ground and declare that we will not settle for anything less than reaching all of our friends and all of our family and all of our coworkers and neighbors for Christ. Listen, friends, every morning in Africa, a gazelle awakens and knows that it has to run faster than the fastest lion or it will be killed. Every morning, a lion awakens and knows that it must outrun the swiftest gazelle or it will starve to death. So it matters not whether you're a lion or a gazelle. When the sun comes up, you better be ready to run. And I'm just saying, God is looking for those that are ready to run. Those that are willing to give God their first and to give God their best. Those that are willing to engage in your church by utilizing the spiritual gifts and talents that God has given them. He's looking for men and women who will get up every single morning ready to serve God in any way they possibly can. In 1956, there was a missionary by the name of Jim Elliot. It was an incredible story. I wish I had time to go into his life or his story. I will on another occasion. I'll tell you about him. But in 1956, there was a missionary by the name of Jim Elliot, and he was martyred for his faith by the Ecuadorian Indians. He felt a burden for the Indians, who were cannibals at the time, in the 50s. And so he just, regardless of the risk to himself, he just felt like God told him to go reach them. And so he went in to where the Indians were and he began to share the gospel and build relationships with them. But unfortunately, they did indeed kill him. And I want you to listen to what he wrote just weeks before he was killed. He wrote this. He said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep, our life, to gain what he cannot lose, eternal life." That was said by a guy that gave his life for the kingdom of God. Jim Elliot understood what it meant to continue to strike your arrows against the ground until there's absolutely nothing left. Tyler Trent understood what it meant to strike his arrows against the ground until there was nothing left. Friends, I want to close. Please understand me on this. God does not call us to do more because he wants something from us. That's the misnomer. That's the thing that people are so confused on. God does not call us to do more, to be all in, because he wants something from us. He calls us to do more. He calls us to be all in because he has something for us. He wants something for us. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me if you would. How many of you would say, you know what, I'm tired of, Steve, I'm tired of half-hearted Christianity and I want to give God my all. I want to be bold. I want to strike my arrows until there's absolutely nothing left. If that's you, I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand and then put it back down. Yeah, all over this place. Father, I just thank you and I praise you for your faithfulness. I thank you for how much you love us. I thank you for who you are and all that you do in our lives. God, forgive us for our apathy, Lord. I pray that you would forgive us for our indifference, that you'd forgive us for our laziness. God, we don't want to be known for our lack of faith. We want to be all in when it comes to our relationship with you. We don't want there to be a way out. We're not looking for a back door. We want to be committed to give you our first and to give you our best. We're not looking for a thimble full of your spirit, God. We're looking for a double anointing, a total surrender of our life to you, God. So God, we ask you today that you'd give us that steadfast determination to follow through all the days of our life. Thank you, God. We love you and we praise you. We just ask it all now in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. I love you guys. Have a great week. See you next week.
Thanks again for joining us on this week's podcast. If you have any questions or would like to speak with a pastor, please connect with us on our website or through social media. You can also find a Northview location to visit in person by going online to northviewchurch.us and then selecting the locations page. We're so glad you joined us today, and we hope you have a great week.